on the door, opening it for her when Rule's "Enter" could be heard. Chelsea stepped into Rule's office and caught his gaze as it flickered to her coffee cup. "We're not discussing my coffee," Chelsea informed him, taking a seat in front of his desk.
"I'll agree with that,"
he chuckled, before returning to the large leather chair and sitting back comfortably.
"I just got off the phone with Cullen," he said smoothly,
his gaze still warm but cautious.
"Really?"
she drawled. "That snake?"
"He has good reason to be worried,"
he said, his tone more sympathetic than she liked.
"On the whole, there are a few mated breeds that we're aware of. Protecting those we have is of the utmost importance."
Chelsea stared back at him suspiciously, feeling the coming letdown.
"Are you getting ready to fire me, Rule?"
she asked carefully, pushing back her reaction until she heard him say it. Understanding flashed in his eyes, though his expression smoothed into determined lines.
"Cullen's call has nothing to do with your assignment,"
he stated firmly,
"which is why I asked to see you. The mating scent isn't as overwhelming as normal, but it is detectable. Every breed in the same room with you will pick that scent up, and they will never believe a Bengal breed would send his mate out to a bar or club without him at her side."
He gave a heavy, disappointed sigh.
"And that being said, I think we're both aware how difficult that will make your job."
"Say it,"
she demanded, her voice scratchy now.
"Go ahead and say it, Rule."
He sighed at the demand.
"I'm sorry, Chelsea, but I have no choice but to let you go."
She was fired. Chelsea rose slowly to her feet, the hurt barreling through her. She swallowed, and it took a moment before she could speak.
"Do Cassie and Ashley know?"
she asked.
Rule shook his head. "I only made my decision after determining the strength of your scent. They're waiting for you in Cassie's suite."
Chelsea shook her head even as he spoke.
"Please,"
she swallowed again, the ragged emotions brewing inside her and filling her voice.
"Please give them my regrets. I have to go."
"Chelsea, you're still welcome here, always,"
Rule protested, coming quickly to his feet, a frown creasing his brow. Chelsea shook her head. Turning, she hurried from the office, not bothering to close the door behind her, terrified she would slam it instead. She walked quickly down the hall, her head down, unaware of the door opening down the hall.
"There you are!"
Ashley's voice was filled with laughter as she met Chelsea at the elevator.
"Oh, bad girl. Coffee."
Chelsea pushed the cup into the other girl's hand, ignoring her surprise, and stepped into the elevator.
"Chelsea?"
Ashley pushed her hand against the frame, the pressure holding the doors open, as confusion and worry filled her normally happy voice and dove-gray eyes.
"I have to go."
Chelsea forced the words past her lips.
"But we have a girl date, remember?"
The faint hurt in the coyote female's voice had Chelsea forcing back her tears.
"I was fired, Ashley,"
she whispered, meeting her wide, shocked gaze.
"Rule just fired me."
Ashley dropped her hand slowly, allowing the doors to close, still holding the coffee Chelsea had pushed into her hand. Seconds later, the doors slid open again, Code's curious gaze easing away when he saw her.
"Everything good?"
he asked. Chelsea only nodded before rushing through the lobby and back into the parking garage. Reaching the relative safety of her truck, she gripped the steering wheel, pressing her forehead tight to her hands as she fought to get her emotions under control. She had been fired because of that damned scent thing? She could feel the bars of the invisible cage moving in closer. Her knowledge that the mating heat just might have given Cullen exactly what he wanted, causing her breath to hitch.
Chelsea, locked away from life, safe and protected. And it hurt.
Cassie stepped into Rule's office and closed the door quietly before walking across the soft cream carpeting. She ignored the director's wary look, but sat down in a chair across from him and leaned back into her seat slowly. She didn't make him wait long to learn why she was there. She folded her hands in her lap and met his gaze firmly.
"I'll be returning to Colorado once I've packed. I'll require a helijet for the trip."
His expression went from curious to brooding rather quickly, his dark blue eyes narrowing in surprise.
"This is about Chelsea," he finally sighed heavily. "She's a danger to herself, as well as the operation."
"Do you think I was unaware of her mated status, Director Breaker?"
she asked, trying to force herself to be calm.
"I knew even before it became a status. Where have you been for the past 16 years to ever consider that I was unaware of such a thing?"
Her extrasensory knowledge was well known to him, and she knew it. He knew it.
"She's Bengal," he stated softly. "One of the most sought-after mates in our society. She endangers herself as well as you."
"You gave me control of this operation."
She could feel her calm beginning to unravel.
"Complete control."
"Not in this situation. The risk is too high, and you should have known it,"
he stated firmly.
"Reorganize your team. It's not dependent on her."
He sat forward then, dismissing her as he pulled one of his files forward and prepared to open it, as though he had the final say in the matter.
"That is where you're wrong."
She came to her feet quickly, her voice rising with her anger as his head jerked up, surprise gleaming in his eyes. Slapping her hands on the front of his desk, she leaned forward, the surging intensity of her anger refusing to allow her to back down or lower her voice.
"This operation damned well did depend on her, as well as her mated status. Reorganize your own goddamned group. You won't get a chance to fire me. I quit," she yelled.
Jerking her hands back from the table, she turned to leave.
"You could have warned me of your parameters, Cassie," he snapped behind her.
"Warned you?"
As she swung around, outrage snapped in her tone.
"It was my operation,"
she yelled back at him furiously.
"Mine. Your other team leaders don't explain every damned detail to you."
"When it's important, they do,"
he growled, the sound demanding she back down.
"Like hell they do,"
she cried furiously.
"Trust me, Rule, every damned one of them has an agenda in their little operations that you don't know a damned thing about."
She was shaking, so furious now a haze of red was threatening to mar her gaze.
"Damn it, Cassie, settle down,"
he ordered, giving a hard shake of his head as he heard the door open.
"Oh, Rule, let him come in,"
she sneered, enraged now, the scent of the arriving coyote infuriating her.
"Aren't you just so threatened by little old me?"
She laughed mockingly.
"I'll be ready to leave in an hour. You can shove this position, and you can shove your parameters while you're at it, because I'm done here."
"Cassie!"
The sharp command in his voice had her pausing.
"Why is Chelsea so important to this operation?"
She turned back to him slowly.
"Because I decided she was important to this operation,"
she bit out between clenched teeth.
"And I resent that question, Rule, because we both know you would have never questioned one of your male commanders similarly."
She shook her head. She should have known better.
Get that jet ready. I'm done here.
This time, when she turned from him, she swept from the room, ignoring the Breeds outside the door, especially those team members she'd more or less tattled on. She was tired of dealing with their certainty that she would fail and their fear of her. Every one of them. They wouldn't look her in the eye, and they stank of their wariness that she'd learn their secrets. She didn't have to learn them. She already knew them. Each and every one of them. And even more, she knew the holes they were digging for themselves. Holes she could have helped them out of. If she had stayed. Colin's head jerked up from the file he was reading, Chelsea's scent crashing into him. It wasn't the scent of arousal that had a growl rumbling in his throat, though. It was the scent of her anger. The scent of her pain. She stormed into his office, the door slamming behind her with enough force to rattle the glass. Colin rose slowly to his feet, frowning at the over-bright eyes and flushed cheeks, the scent of pain and betrayal sliding around him like icy tendrils.
"Thank you."
Her voice was husky as her gaze went around the room, taking in the stacks of files, books lying about that needed replacing on the shelves.
"For making a mess of this office."
She dropped her pack into the chair in front of the desk, controlled the trembling of her lips, and forced a bright smile to her lips.
"Saved my position, did you, Cullen?"
He glanced around the room before returning his gaze to her.
"The commissioner hasn't approved the stupidity tests yet."
He shrugged, then tipped his head curiously.
"What's wrong, baby?"
She flashed him a look of pain-filled mockery.
"How can you ask that question with a straight face?"
"Because I have no idea what the hell is going on," he answered. "And I can't do anything about it if I don't know what I've done."
All that anger and pain was definitely directed at him, though. As shocking as it was, he could feel the tears she was holding inside.
"Have I ever asked you to fix anything for me, Cullen?"
she demanded then, one hand settling on a cocked hip.
"At any time have I asked you to fix any damned thing for me?"
He moved, positioning himself in front of the desk and leaning back against it as he forced himself to be patient.
"You were always welcome to ask," he snapped.
"The only thing I ever wanted from you, you couldn't give me. You wouldn't give me," she cried out,
her finger stabbing toward him furiously.
"Not only did you refuse to even consider allowing me to do more than these messy damned files for you, but you then destroyed the office I spent years organizing. Were you so desperate to get your menial help back that you just had to have me fired, Cullen? That you couldn't even allow me to work for anyone else?"
Cullen stared back at her in shock.
"Fired?"
he questioned her with a growl.
"Chelsea, I didn't have you fired. What the hell happened?"
The look she shot him was frankly disbelieving.
"You called Rule!"
she yelled back at him hoarsely, that sense of hurt and betrayal washing over him like a bitter breeze.
"The hell I did," he snapped. "I never mentioned firing you. I informed him, officially, of my now active breed status and of our mating status. Nothing more."
"It was officially none of his business," she cried out, her dark eyes burning with anger. "That was our business alone."
For a woman who knew so many breeds, he often wondered if she had any human friends. Her knowledge of the breed society was shockingly inadequate.
"Chelsea, honey."
He gripped the edge of the desk behind him in frustration.
"The moment my breed status went active, I was required to alert him because of my position in law enforcement. And all breeds are required to inform either their alphas or the Bureau when they mate. I have no alpha."
And he intended to keep it that way.
"So I notified Rule, and that was the extent of our conversation.
"Rule fired me," she whispered, licking her lips before giving a little shrug that looked far too much like defeat. "He said the mating heat scent would keep me from getting information." She shot him a bitter smile. "You got what you wanted after all." "What did you say? There's no cure?" Her smile was too bright and too filled with hurt. "Congratulations, Cullen. Dad will be overjoyed. Granddad will be proud as hell." And it hurt her so deep that Cullen wasn't certain he could fix it.
"I'll call Rule." Chelsea was shaking her head even as he spoke.
"Please don't do that, Cullen. I don't want or need that good old boy network to fix a damned thing for me." Her smile was tight and hard. "Look at it this way. All that angst over protecting me just got easier."
Got what he wanted? "You actually believe I wanted to see you hurt like this?" he demanded, staring at her in disbelief. "For God's sake, if I wanted to get you fired, Chelsea, I could have done it a hell of a lot easier without making myself look like the bad guy. And I sure as hell wouldn't have used our mating to do it. The last thing I want you to do is resent your bond with me."
He rubbed at the back of his neck in irritation as the anger continued to glitter in her eyes. Before he could say anything more, a hard knock sounded at the door, causing her to flinch slightly before she controlled it.
"What?"
he snapped, his irritation growing. The door eased open, and one of the junior agents poked his head in warily.
"Sorry, Commander, but Director Breaker from Breed Affairs is out here. He's demanding to speak to Ms. Martinez."
The agent flashed her a smile.
"Hey there, Chelsea. It's good to see you again." "Hey, Rylan."
She returned the greeting, her smile tight.
"Tell Director Breaker to
go to hell."
Rule stepped into the office and flashed Cullen a glare.
"Don't bother. Cassie took care of it for you."
Pinching the bridge of his nose, Cullen bit back a frustrated curse.
"You're damn sure trying to make my life hell,"
Cullen informed him, staring back at the other breed with a flat, hard warning.
"Keep it up, and we're going to have words."
Rule eyed him suspiciously.
"You're not crazy enough to be a Bengal. Too damned calm." "Rule, I'm going to kill you," Cullen stated, restraining a growl threatening to rumble in his chest. "Well, join the club," Rule grimaced, before turning to Chelsea. "Will an apology suffice, or must I grovel?"
Moving past Rule, Cullen stomped to the door and closed it in Ryland's far too curious face.
"Son of a bitch, this morning was flat going to hell."
Moving between Rule and Chelsea, he gave in to the imperative demand to go to Chelsea. He ignored the need to stand between her and the bureau director, opting to move behind her instead and keep a careful eye on the breed.
"I'll grovel if I have to."
Rule kept the growl from his voice, Cullen noticed in amusement.
"Or you can accept my apology and the fact that I'll owe you a hell of a debt and come back to the bureau. Otherwise, that tyrant personality Cassie unleashed on me will get on a helijet she ordered me to have ready and fly back home. The little wench quit on me. Every breed I know is going to go nuts on me when they find out I was the breed who caused her to lose her temper."
Chelsea stared back at Rule, certain she misunderstood. Cassie wouldn't have quit. She had just told her and Ashley how important that job was to her. She wouldn't just walk away.
"Chelsea, I have less than 30 minutes here,"
Rule breathed out heavily, shoving his hands in the pockets of his dark slacks and so obviously trying not to glare at her.
"I'll owe you a really huge debt,"
he gritted out, his gaze flickering to Cullen as though asking for help. Cullen could only shrug. He'd damned well love to have that debt owed to him, well aware of the boon Rule was offering.
Fine, Chelsea finally muttered. But you owe two debts. One to me, and one to Cullen.
Outrage snapped in Rule's expression.
How the hell do I owe him a debt?
Because you almost got him fired, she stated with obvious irritation. I think that would suck for a mate, and he was starting to get really worried I was serious, too.
Rule wasn't convinced.
You can't fire a mate, and he knows it.
And you're running out of time, she pointed out.
A grimace crossed the director's face, but he gave a short, abrupt nod.
Can we go now?
Turning to Cullen, she shot him a challenging look before grabbing her pack and moving for the door. Before Rule could turn away, Cullen gave the breed a hard warning look. Rule's acknowledging nod had Cullen breathing out a heavy sigh before stepping to the door and watching his mate leave. Every breed instinct he possessed demanded he follow her and keep her in sight. If he tried that, no doubt she'd have something to say about it. Something he was sure he wouldn't want to hear. Having an independent mate was going to be the death of him.
She was making him crazy. Following behind her pickup in his dragoon that evening, Cullen stared at the back of her head broodingly. Damn. He could shoot Graham for not warning him that Chelsea was listening in on their conversation the night before. His brother's hearing was preternatural. She couldn't have slipped up on him, and from the look on his brother's face, Cullen knew she'd not surprised Graham in the least. Graham had let her hear every word, and Cullen still couldn't figure out why his brother had done so. What did it matter now? The events that happened so many years before. Lauren was dead. The past was dead. And his mating to Chelsea had no bearing on it any more than his feelings on the mating mattered at this point. She'd misunderstood what she'd heard, though. There were so many things she didn't understand, and he wasn't a man who did explanations easily, especially explanations where his marriage and his late wife were concerned. And there were so many things she didn't understand about his feelings for her. Hell, even he didn't understand his feelings for her, and he'd had the past 4 years to try to make sense of it. He'd hired her as his assistant just because the pull she exerted on him whenever she was around confused the hell out of him. And he couldn't blame that one on a mating. Touching his tongue to a canine, he grimaced at the knowledge that it seemed to have dropped lower from his jaw. His gums ached like a son of a bitch, and knowing that those awakened genetics were going to be impossible to hide irritated the hell out of him. When had it begun? He frowned, trying to pinpoint exactly when the changes had begun occurring. Chelsea's resignation, the morning she'd arrived at the house about 5 weeks ago. He realized. His gums had begun aching just after that. He'd put it down to his habit of gritting his teeth, something else that had begun after her resignation. The cinnamon taste in his mouth at odd times, the unbidden growls that had rumbled in his chest when he was extremely frustrated. The signs of the awakening genetics had been there, but he'd marked them down to coincidences. After all, it hadn't been the first time that animalistic rumble had built in his throat. The restless irritation and even the flashes of advanced eyesight, hearing, and strength had been common over the years. And he could connect all those flashes distinctly to instances when Chelsea had been around. The Bengal inside him hadn't roused until she'd challenged him, though. Until she'd left and refused to return. He shouldn't have let her leave the agency. He knew that now. If he'd just let her have a place in command, she would have stayed.
But that would have meant having no chance to escape whatever it was she made him feel whenever he was around her too much. It was the hunger for her. His hands clenched on the steering wheel. The physical, aching hunger he hadn't wanted to acknowledge, hadn't wanted to give into, had roused the beast within him. He wished he could put the bastard back to sleep. And if his brother's troublemaking tendencies weren't enough, Rule had decided to add his particular brand of bullshit to it. The least he and Graham could do was take turns making his life hell, instead of trying to drive him insane in one day. Staying close as Chelsea drove through Window Rock, he followed her first through the drive-thru of a popular coffee house again. The size of the cup of coffee the employee handed out the window had him wincing in acknowledgement of her sheer stubbornness. The woman could give lessons to a mule on sheer determined pride, and she had enough pride for a dozen breeds, let alone one little woman. That determination could well end up getting her killed if he wasn't careful. The two breeds trailing them were good. He'd give them that. Draeger and Tobias were about the best security team he'd run across, but even the best made mistakes. Every instinct Cullen possessed warned him that Chelsea was in a hell of a lot more trouble than any of them suspected. The coyote who'd attacked her was a known Genetics Council soldier. He hadn't attempted to abduct her. He'd tried to kill her. The fact that she'd managed to stay alive long enough for the two wolf breeds shadowing her to get to her amazed Cullen. No breed, especially one who still followed the Genetics Council, was that damned sloppy. They were too well trained and too damned fanatical when it came to their orders. So what the hell was really going on? As he pondered that question, he drew to a stop directly behind Chelsea at the final traffic light at the end of town, his gaze scanning the area. Draeger and Tobias were two vehicles behind in the beige SUV they were driving that day. Traffic appeared normal, as did the pedestrians moving along the sidewalks. Nothing seemed unusual. No glints of sunlight on gun sights, nothing to indicate any danger. But his instincts were humming. Hell, they'd been humming since Chelsea had resigned, and he'd been too damned distracted to figure out why. He should have convinced her to ride from the bureau with him, and made Tobias drive her truck, he thought, catching her gaze in the rearview mirror, but she'd argued she could drive the damned thing herself. And he was trying. God knew he was trying to let her have a measure of that independence, while still protecting her. The light turned green. The second traffic began moving. It happened. The dark SUV in the turn lane at her left didn't turn. The lighter colored pickup to her right dropped back, and from the side street, a heavy panel van raced into the intersection, slamming into the side of Chelsea's truck, as the SUV to the left swung around to hem her in, almost cutting Cullen off from her. The carefully calculated strike moved like slow motion through Cullen's senses as adrenaline spiked through his brain, and the animal, normally unresponsive and uncaring, surged awake and took control with a ferocity he couldn't have expected. Man and tiger merged so seamlessly it was as though they had never been separate. And hovering just beyond was a madness he didn't stop to consider. Not yet. Cullen jerked the military-grade automatic weapon he kept secured behind the passenger seat free as the Dragoon rocked to a stop. He was out of the vehicle before the men in the SUV next to her could react. They hadn't expected resistance, depending on shock and awe to delay Chelsea's security as well as her response to the attack. A roar tore past his throat. Lifting the rifle to his shoulder, he fired quickly, laying a spray of bullets along the passenger side door of the car and taking out two of the would-be attackers. Sprinting for the truck, he aimed and fired on the van, forcing the attackers to take cover as he jerked open the door of the truck and hauled Chelsea from the seat. The occupants of the lighter-colored SUV rushed from the vehicle when Colin turned his weapon on them, attempting to help Chelsea from her truck at the same time. Not that she needed much help. Damn her. The second the door came open, she all but tumbled out, a snub-nosed automatic personal defense weapon in her hands, her gaze filled with cold, hard determination. Her hair was mussed, her face pale, a smear of blood on her reddened forehead attesting to a bruise that would be forming quickly, but she was lucid and moving quickly to cover him.
"Stay down!"
he yelled, as horns erupted, the clash of several vehicles colliding behind them a distant sound in his brain as Drager and Tobias raced to their side. Automatic gunfire peppered her truck as the men in the van, four in all now, fired back, their plan to attack a single defenseless woman suddenly backfiring. They'd planned for Drager and Tobias, but not Colin. They would have separated her from the two wolf breeds trailing her with the deliberate chaos, taken her, and been gone before the two breeds could get to her. At least, that had been their plan. Within seconds, though, Drager and Tobias joined Colin, and heartbeats later, six other breeds from surrounding vehicles were spreading out, armed and going after the four men in the van.
"Clear the streets!"
Chelsea pushed at Tobias as he tried to hem her in between himself and Drager.
"Stop worrying about me, damn it, and secure the civilians!"
Bullets sprayed the street as frightened cries echoed around him. Colin worked with the breeds to contain the shooters, whose plans had suddenly exploded around them. His plan was to stay at Chelsea's side, to cover her while the others contained the shooters. Instead, she stayed at his side as he covered the others, keeping the shooters pinned down while the six enforcers moved on the van and her security team pushed those too frightened to run toward safety. It took no more than mere minutes before the sound of exploding ammunition and enraged curses from the men facing defeat was over. Three were dead, but there was still one left to question. And through the entire attack, Chelsea's calm flowed through him, shocking him with his knowledge of it, with her composure and ability to handle danger.
"Contained!"
A coyote breed enforcer who'd joined the melee shouted out after a quick look inside the van.
"Nation police are heading in!"
another enforcer called out as Cullen strode to the area.
"Round them up!"
He stared down at the three dead men, their hardened, scarred faces not unknown to him. These weren't Genetics Council soldiers. They weren't breeds who followed their deranged trainers or known associates. They were hardened criminals, and part of a group Cullen and his agents had been tracking for more than a year. What the hell were they doing here?
"Those are Cervez gang members,"
Chelsea said softly at his shoulder, as she tucked her weapon at the small of her back.
"This could be really bad."
Really bad didn't even begin to define it, especially if the Blood Queen was looking to punish Chelsea for not getting her daughter to her in time.
"Two of them are Cervez's top lieutenants,"
he agreed, staring down at her with narrowed eyes.
"Did you tell anyone about that night?"
"No way, no how."
Chelsea shook her head, keeping her voice low. And he hadn't told anyone, even Graham. Especially Graham.
"The surviving attacker likes to talk,"
Drager stated as he moved to them, his gaze flashing with savage fury.
"The cartel received a contract to kill Chelsea. They were going to kidnap her and ransom her for money to the Genetics Council when they were told she was a breed mate."
His eyes flashed dangerously.
"She was considered an easy mark."
An easy mark? She wasn't an easy mark, and Cervez would learn that one fast enough.
"Let's go."
Gripping Chelsea's arm, he tugged her after him, heading for the Dragoon.
"Go where?"
The strength in her voice, the demand in her tone, drew him to a stop. He stared down at her, feeling the brutal lust, the adrenaline-laced mating hormone racing through his system, had the glands beneath his tongue swelling instantly. the cinnamon taste of it slamming against his tongue and into his system with a wild, furious need nearly painful in its intensity. Graham had warned him of this. Warned him that any hard surge of adrenaline would overcome the injection Cullen had taken the night before. That adrenaline was still rushing through him, building, despite the fact that the danger was all but over now. She'd been endangered. If he hadn't been right on her ass, those gang members would have taken her and turned her over to the council, and she would have died. He would have never gotten to her in time.
"Somewhere else,"
he snarled, pushing her into the passenger side of the Dragoon.
"Anywhere but here."
Anywhere but out in the open, surrounded by other breeds, by unknown dangers. He had to get her someplace he knew would be completely secure. Someplace where danger had no chance of touching her. Chapter 12. From Graham's journal, The Recessed Primal Breed.
Any creature, human, breed, or otherwise, foolish enough to tempt a recessed primal breed's rage, is a being living on borrowed time. The mate who tempts such a breed is a woman of unique and incomparable courage. God help her.
He'd almost lost her. That thought had every bone and muscle in Cullen's body tightening with fury as he raced from the crime scene, heading for his own home on the other side of town. If he had been just a single car behind her, if he hadn't followed her, if he hadn't sensed something wrong just before that vehicle had slammed into Chelsea's, then she could have been gone, taken by the criminals, or worse, lying in a pool of blood, dead in the middle of the street. For years he'd pushed aside that unnamed something that drew him to her. Even before she'd come to work for him, hell, before his marriage, she'd been a sweet, quiet young girl when he'd first seen her in her father's house, the night he, Cat, and Honor had been rescued. Peeking from the darkness of another room, her gaze had met his, and he'd known a friend watched him with dark eyes, compassion, and a whisper of fear for his safety. There had been nothing sexual in the fragile bond they'd shared until well after his wife's death. But he knew it for what it was now. The animal waking just enough to ensure he didn't overlook the woman who would one day belong to him. As he glanced at Chelsea's pale face, the scent of her courage and the sight of the determined tilt of her chin had him rubbing a hand wearily over his face. And he'd thought he could contain her? That he could protect her? It was like trying to contain the wind. She'd slip through his fingers every time. Realizing that didn't help the adrenaline-laced mating hormone ripping through his system now. It only spurred it. The challenge he glimpsed in her eyes every time he stared into them was the same challenge she silently shouted to the world. She was strong. That glint assured anyone willing to see. She wasn't a victim, and she wouldn't allow herself to become one. She was his mate. She was the one woman the creature inside him recognized as the one capable of walking by his side. And the thought of her facing any more danger filled him with fear. No one was undefeatable. That challenge she stared out at the world with could be silenced with one correctly placed bullet or blade. And she'd just be gone. If his hands hadn't been gripping the steering wheel with an iron hold, they would have trembled. Fuck, his guts were shaking. It would take him a lifetime to get over what had nearly happened to her. "Why would the Cervez cartel care what the council wanted?" she asked, her voice tight with reaction to the attack. "They know it was the council that ordered Louisa abducted and tortured."
"We'll have more information after the surviving assailants questioned," he assured her. "Until then, there's no sense in asking questions we can't answer."
He couldn't talk about this. He simply didn't have the control he needed right now to do so with any sort of logic.
But there's not been so much as a rumor of a coming attack.
Confusion filled her voice now.
I'm working every contact I know of, as well as their contacts, looking for intel on which breeds are being targeted to be abducted. There's not even a hint that anyone's after me, or that I'm in any kind of danger.
Even the Cervezes wouldn't be able to keep that quiet, Cullen.
They kept this quiet, he snarled. And my informants are part of the family's main security force.
His informants' heads were going to roll as soon as he contacted them.
He said a price went on my head, she stated, her voice low. They don't know I was there that night. This could be just business for them.
Doesn't matter, he growled. Whoever put the contract out will pay, right along with the Cervezes.
Her worried glance and the smell of her regret slammed into him.
Look,
she breathed out roughly, her hands twisting in her lap as she looked down at them for the moment.
I'm sorry you got dragged into this.
I didn't get dragged into anything.
Where the hell did that come from?
I came looking for you, remember?
He shook his head at her statement.
Damn it, Chelsea. You should have come to me the first time you were attacked. I might have fought you over having any part of it, but I would have protected you.
That's just it, Cullen.
She swung around, staring at him, her expression fierce.
I shouldn't have to fight you over it. If you needed my help, I'd give it unconditionally. You should do the same or stay the hell out of it.
Incredulity flared through him, even as his dick only got harder. Damn her. What would it take to make her understand that he just couldn't do that?
It doesn't work that way, he gritted out. You might think it should, you might hope it would, but to actually expect it is illogical, Chelsea.
You have several female agents working in covert ops, Cullen,
she pointed out, anger beginning to heat her tone.
Not once have you pulled them back because they might get hurt.
Her arms crossed over her breasts, and a quick glance at her showed a delicate flush on her features and a battle gleam in her eyes.
There's a difference.
The tension already radiating through him only increased.
You just don't want to see it.
My training's more advanced than theirs, she argued. I've trained for 10 years with Special Forces and Navy SEALs. I'm a part of the breed underground and worked in a covert capacity with them, and all you want me to do is your damned filing.
He could smell her arousal deepening, the scent of her need filling his nostrils and intoxicating his senses. The adrenaline, he told himself desperately. It was all part of the mating heat. Graham had even warned him about it. An adrenaline surge of any kind amped the need for confrontation. And for sex. The female mate needed to assert her own independence and test the strength of her mate. She'd push until his animal pushed back. And he was damned if he couldn't feel the animal demanding that Cullen push back.
This is the wrong fucking argument to have right now,
he told her firmly, shooting her a silencing look. A hard breath expelled from her lips. As she turned and glared straight ahead again, her lips pressed firmly together, and he ached for the hurt he could sense spilling from her. She wanted something he simply didn't know how to give her. It had nothing to do with respect or trust or a certainty of her abilities. It was the certainty that he'd never be the same if anything happened to her.
Breeds only mate once, Chelsea.
He finally sighed as he made the turn onto his street and headed for the end of it where his home was located.
If anything were to happen to you, I'd never get a second chance.
He broke off. The sight of the vehicles in his drive pulling the growl he'd been holding back free. It rumbled from his chest, deeper, the sound more predatory than any he'd issued to this point.
God, I so didn't need this.
Chelsea muttered from beside him.
What is it?
A frickin' family reunion? Intervention time? A family reunion just about described it, along with a healthy dose of the past that he just wasn't in the mood for.
For God's sake, that's your in-laws!
She hissed in disbelief as he pulled the Dragoon to the curb rather than blocking the four vehicles in his driveway and being forced to move to allow them to leave later. His former in-laws, Arthur and Marcia Holden, Lauren's parents.
They're your cousins, he pointed out, shooting her a brooding glare.
She shrugged with a roll of her eyes.
Can't choose your family, but you can damn sure choose your in-laws.
Your taste sucks, by the way. Chelsea pushed the passenger door open and forced herself to step from the vehicle. The jolt of her feet against the pavement as she was forced to all but jump from the opening brought a muttered groan from her lips.
Damn it, can't you wait 2 seconds?
Colin cursed as she found herself swung up into his arms and cushioned against his broad chest. Her arms went around his shoulders instinctively, despite the angry look she shot him.
If I felt like waiting, then that's what I would have done, she informed him, suddenly feeling every ache and bruise in her body.
She didn't feel like dealing with her family. Not right now, while she was bruised and bloody, and her father was staring at her with something akin to agonized horror. He didn't have a chance to reply. Her sister rushed from her husband's side, concern in her expression as she took Cullen's keys and ran to unlock and open the front door. He carried Chelsea into the house and laid her on the couch in his plain living room. Couch, 2 easy chairs, a few tables and a lamp. It had that unlived-in feel, even though he'd lived there since the year after his wife died. The whole house had an unlived-in feel. She'd noticed that the few times she'd been there. It was a place to sleep when he needed it, a place to hang his clothes and shower and little else.
I'll get the first aid kit.
Malachi headed through the house, looking around as he went, obviously acquainted with it.
Damn, son, when are you going to hang a picture or two? When you buy them and hang them, I guess,
Colin grunted. Behind him, Chelsea's father, Taryn, her grandfather, Oren, and Cullen's former in-laws stepped into the house. They looked around the living room and into the kitchen as though confused by the feeling of it. Only her grandfather's expression reflected something other than distaste. He appeared thoughtful, his head tilted, no doubt listening to whatever he could hear in the very air itself. Chelsea didn't doubt the air in the house was speaking to him, spilling Cullen's secrets, whispering to him of whatever it was that spoke of such loneliness in the place Cullen called home.
Interesting, Arthur murmured,
his heavily lined face still drawn with the same grief she'd seen in it at Lauren's funeral 10 years ago. Tall, reed thin, his facial features rather long and too somber, Arthur Holden wasn't a man to joke and laugh with. His wife had once been much more animated, smiling, her hazel eyes always bright with whatever emotion she felt. They weren't like that any longer. The loss of her only child, her daughter, had stilled that sparkle and taken the animation from her expression. Marcia stood, appearing uncomfortable, uncertain what to do as Malachi placed the first aid kit on the coffee table and Isabel sat on the couch next to Chelsea and stared down at her in sympathy and concern.
If I close my eyes and wish hard enough, will they go away?
Chelsea asked, her voice low enough that Isabel and Malachi were probably the only ones who heard her.
Doubt it, sis.
Isabel smiled gently, her tone filled with wry amusement.
Not this time.
She blew out a hard breath and closed her eyes anyway.
What the hell are you involved in, Chelsea?
Her father exclaimed from the end of the couch, his voice angry as only a worried father sounds.
An attack in the middle of town? Someone tried to rain a war down on you, damn it. And I want to know why.
A damned war was a good description of it. She was determined to ignore the questions, though, until heat exploded in the cut on her forehead just as the scent of alcohol reached her nose.
Damn it, Issa!
She jerked, her eyes snapping open as she tried to pull away from the fiery burn.
That hurts.
Isabel lifted a dark brown with false innocence. Damn it, she'd meant for the alcohol to burn.
Don't ignore Dad. He nearly had a stroke on me.
Isabel hissed down at her.
I'm not ignoring him.
At least she wasn't trying to. I don't know what happened or why, or I would have given a family report the second I stepped into the door.
Here.
Several damp paper towels dropped into Isabel's hands as Malachi returned from the kitchen.
Clean the blood from her skin first, so we can get a good look at those scratches on her arm. They look pretty deep.
They were pretty deep. Glass had rained around her when her truck took the impact of the collision. She sat still, silent, as her father, her grandfather, and Arthur Holden followed Cullen into the kitchen. Marcia stood next to the coffee table, her gaze dropping to the bloodied paper towels, as Isabel dropped them to the table beside the couch.
Stay still,
her sister admonished her as she flinched at the probing of the wounds.
These are almost deep enough to require stitches.
Almost doesn't count.
Chelsea felt like pouting. She wished they'd just stop fussing over her and let her go take a shower. She'd feel much better if she could stand beneath some warm water. The longer she lay there and endured her sister's inspection of the cuts, the colder she felt. As Marcia finally drew away and moved to the kitchen with her husband, Isabel gave Chelsea a sympathetic look before drawing back, her blue eyes flicking to the kitchen again.
It gets easier, her sister said softly. The symptoms ease and even out pretty quickly once you and Cullen are more certain of each other.
Certain of each other? She'd be waiting a while for that one to happen.
He hates it, Chelsea whispered back. He wants a cure for it.
She rolled her eyes, despite how bad that knowledge hurt.
Go figure.
Isabel shook her head, the cloud of dark hair framing her face, swaying with the movement.
I don't believe that, Chelsea. For it to be present at all, then whether he wants to admit it or not, he loves you. The emotions always go both ways when it happens.
It. The mating. Was every breed who married actually mated to their husband or wife? There weren't a lot of marriages, she knew, but if the tabloids were to be believed, each one was a mating. Giving her a warning look, Isabel didn't say anything more. A second later, Arthur and Marcia moved back into the room and stepped to the couch once again. It had been 10 years since she'd seen them, but they'd never been close with the rest of the family. Arthur's family had once been quite wealthy, and they'd always spent most of the time on their California estate until Lauren became older. They'd been in town less than a year when Lauren and Cullen were introduced. After the Holdens lost their daughter, they'd returned to California, and as far as she knew, this was their first visit back. They picked a hell of a time to visit.
Sorry about all this.
She tried to smile as she met Marcia's gaze.
Not exactly what you were looking for when you came to visit, huh?
Oh, dear. I'm just worried about you.
Marcia sighed, as though tired.
You always were the rebel in the family, weren't you?
The troublemaker,
Arthur murmured with an attempt at teasing humor.
No wonder your father's hair is turning gray.
Yeah, that's what he tells me all the time.
Pushing herself up, she swung her legs around and put her feet on the floor, looking up at Marcia. There was little resemblance to the Martinez family in the other woman. She more closely resembled her mother's side of the family, Boston Bluebloods, as her father once commented.
We should be going, dear.
Arthur laid his hand against his wife's shoulder with a gentle pat.
Let Taryn and Oren see if they can talk any sense into her.
He turned then as Cullen entered the room and held his hand out. The dark blue silk suit he wore, despite its tailoring, made him appear more gaunt than he would have if he'd taken the jacket off.
"Maybe we'll see each other again before we head home."
"Arthur?"
Cullen nodded and accepted the handshake.
"It was good to see you again."
No, it wasn't. She could see the subtle signs of Cullen's discomfort, which she was certain mirrored hers. She had a good excuse, though. She'd never been comfortable around them. Turning back to her, Arthur watched her silently for a long moment before he bent his knees and hunched next to her. She watched him warily, barely able to stifle a wince as he picked up her hand and patted it in what she was certain was meant to be a fatherly manner.
"Take it easy, Chelsea. It's a terrible thing when a father is forced to lose a child," he told her,
but the arrogant superiority in his tone grated on her nerves.
"No danger."
She slid her hand from his and pushed it through her hair to dispel the feel of his touch.
"I'm sure they've already reserved a padded cell for me."
She grinned over Arthur's shoulder at her father's frowning countenance.
"That, or chains?"
Arthur chuckled at the comment, rose to his feet, then nodded to the rest of the family.
"We'll be going now. Let me know if you need anything."
Placing his hand low on his wife's back, he led her to the door and out of the house. As the door closed, Chelsea noticed the air didn't feel nearly as tense as it had while he was there.
"Cullen," Malachi stated long seconds later, "no offense, but there's not a chance in hell I'd turn my back on that man."
That observation struck Chelsea as a perfect description of the undercurrents of tension she herself had felt. Oren shook his gray head, his expression saddened.
"He's a man tormented by loss," he said somberly, "and by his own inability to prevent it."
Malachi merely glanced at the other man, obviously not agreeing with him.
"As I said," he shrugged, "I wouldn't turn my back on him. He was attempting to put everyone at ease, but I could smell his hatred. It was there, despite the attempts to appear differently. And it was centered on Cullen."
Chelsea looked up at Cullen. His expression was closed, his gaze cool as he met her father's long look. He wasn't commenting, but she sensed he agreed with Malachi. She knew his breed senses were coming alive with the mating. He would have caught the scent of hatred coming from Arthur if it was there. And if Malachi said it was there, then it was.
"Arthur never approved of Cullen,"
Taryn stated then, surprising Chelsea with the lack of compassion in his tone.
"He and Marcia, along with Ray, pushed her to him, though."
He turned to Cullen with a harsh look.
"I'm not a fool, and I've been around breeds long enough to know that the stories about the matings aren't complete falsehoods. And they knew it, too."
He nodded to the door Arthur and Marcia had used.
"They never confirmed it, but I saw the knowledge in their eyes when Lauren was screaming at you from her deathbed."
Cullen flinched, the muscle at his jaw bunched, tightening with the fierce clenching of his teeth before he cursed under his breath.
"Dad, we need to leave."
It was Isabel who hurriedly made the suggestion. Moving to her father, she placed her hand on his shoulder and gave him a warning look.
"Come on, now isn't the time for this. Chelsea needs to rest. We know she's okay, and Cullen will watch out for her, far better than we can."
"Come, son."
Oren joined Isabel at his son's side.
"Wish your youngest well, and we'll see if we can't find a drink to ease the tension of the matter."
He patted Taryn's shoulder and headed for the door.
"Hurry yourselves. It's time we leave."
Chelsea forced herself to her feet.
"I stopped and packed a bag for you before heading here," Isabel told her. "Malachi put it in the kitchen while I was tending your boo-boos."
She shot Chelsea a teasing grin.
"Call me and let me know when you need company."
"I will," Chelsea promised, her gaze moving to her father once again as he stepped to her.
If either you or Isabel were taken from me, I wouldn't survive my grief,
he whispered at her ear as he gave her a quick, fierce hug.
Remember that when you're being so damned reckless.
He turned quickly away then and stalked from the house, the door closing heavily behind him. While she was being so reckless, tears threatened to fill her eyes at her father's words. Reckless, foolhardy, senseless. Those were his descriptions of her need to fight the injustices she saw in their world.